Hey everybody, my name is Jarrett and I am freaking back.
Hey everybody, this is my podcast. This is my podcast. This is my podcast. Hey everybody, this is my podcast. This is my podcast. So suck it.
Suck it indeed. Oh my goodness. I have 1,000 excuses as to why it has taken me so long to do another one of these. The funny thing is, I don't feel like shit today. So there is it's weird to even be doing one of these. And I've also determined that podcasts are basically like magazine subscriptions. It's like you sort of do one, you get your first magazine and you read it and it goes well. And then you just basically spend 12 months trying to catch up with all the other magazines and it becomes this pile of things that you want to read and talk about and do in order. And I don't even know if that makes any sense to you, but that's in my head. That's what it is. There's a stack of Rolling Stones and a stack of Nerd Macintosh magazines over there that I have not read one of in well over a year. And this is the year I stop subscribing and start podcasting. How about that? Yeah. It has been a while. I saw on the Twitters, somebody, actually said that it had been a year, which is not true. I did one of these in June, I think. And I thought I did one in anticipation of the... No, I know I did. I know I did one in anticipation of the summer U.S. dates because I remember playing... Patent Pending on there, which those guys are just lovely. Miss those dudes. But hey, welcome to podcast 14. I do believe this is 14. If it's not 14, then I'm just going to label this wrong and be talking about it the whole time as if it were 14. And then the whole time you'll be thinking, yeah, you're a dick. This is 15 or whatever. So much has happened since the last podcast, but here we are. We find ourselves in the holiday season. It's Thanksgiving week here in the United States. Which I've talked about on the podcast before. I won't get into all that, but essentially Thanksgiving is an excuse for us to just eat a bunch and fall asleep on the couch while watching American football. And that's what I intend to do. I actually have my kids out of school all week. They're at an art camp right now, which allowed me to get a couple of hours to do this here podcast. And then, They're home again tomorrow. And then Thursday we drive to my parents' house. We'll have a little lunch and then we're leaving the kids there for the weekend because this is People on Vacation's CD release weekend, which we will get into during this podcast. I really have no agenda for this podcast, seriously. I mean, I guess one of the things I wanted to do is sort of just recap everything that's going on in the world of me. And then sort of I just wanted to get back in the routine, get back into doing these things and get back into spending time with you guys. Cause, you know, if I'm not going to say that I'm going to do these on a more regular basis, because the minute that I say that, it'll be another 9 months before I do another one. And then, you know, and some of you will have babies. See what I did with the, oh God, that's funny. But anyway, so that's my week going on. This past weekend, we went to Broken Bow, Oklahoma, with my with my wife's dad and stepmom and two of her sisters and half sisters, and which we, you know, those are sisters basically. I never know whether you're supposed to clarify. You know, like it's because you get into a situation where you introduce someone as, hey, this is Melissa's mom and stepdad or mom and stepsister or whatever, or half sister. And see, that shit's just confusing. So, you know, it's just better just to have three moms. And if that's even possible, I guess it is. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could be adopted, find your real mom, realize that she is remarried and that your real dad is also remarried. But then if you were from a divorced home and you were adopted, then you could have four sets of parents. Because ex-step parents, though, still in your life in some cases, In most cases, you know, they're gone, right? I mean, I know a lot of people who are still close with step parents, and yeah, you know, I don't know. Anyway, I'm just happy to be here. You know, I mean, just happy to be here. This past weekend, so we went to where I thought was the site of the craziest Bowling for Soup show ever. I was wrong. We went to Broken Bow, Oklahoma, and like the whole time I'm thinking to myself, I'll compare the two trips and this will be cool. Like I can tell both stories. I can tell this story from, you know, 1995, I guess it was, where we went to what I thought was Broken Bow, but maybe it was Broken Arrow, some other place with Bowling for Soup, and had the craziest show ever. And I'm going to go ahead and tell the story because I know that I refer to it a lot in interviews and so do the guys. But as we were going this weekend, it was the same path. I mean, we passed a lot of the same things. And, you know, I'm coming from Dallas instead of Wichita Falls. So it's sort of like met in the middle on Highway 82. And then it was like, okay, this is the same journey. And then as we got there, it wasn't the same, I don't think. I really don't think it was the same place. If it was, then a lot has changed there. I really am not good at geography and shouldn't be even talking about it, you know, in any capacity whatsoever. But anyway, so this weekend was amazing, and it is fun. We don't do a lot of road trips. You know, I travel a lot. My wife, Melissa, is not big on being in the car, but it's crazy to me how good the kids are in the car. And I was thinking about that and just thinking about how we did a lot of things in the car when I was a kid. we did, especially in my teenage years. Hi-yo! No, but we took a lot of family trips and a lot of family car trips when I was a kid because, you know, I grew up in the 70s and I don't know. I guess people weren't just, you know, when you were flying somewhere, to me, it seemed like a bigger deal. Plus, people smoked on airplanes, including my parents, which I just still am pissed about. You know those things that you're still mad at your parents about? Mine almost all deals with cigarettes because it's like you would finish eating and they would have to have coffee and smoke a couple of cigarettes. And it's just like now with my kids have it so lucky because I have the last bite of food in my mouth and we're walking out the door, you know, and that's just, you know. That's the way it is. But and as I got to thinking about why they were so good in the car, I sort of just looked back in the rearview mirror and realized that they each have a different movie in the headset of my wife and I's seat. Both have an iPod in their lap, and Jack has an iPod Touch playing Angry Birds or whatever. Emma does not because she lost hers, and Santa Claus is evidently pissed about this. But anyway, I guess is why they're so good in the car, you know, plus, and there's, you know, and I'm a stopper too. I think we've talked about this before, but, in Bowling for Soup, we were never in a hurry to get anywhere. It's like, if you pass by a, historical marker or some sort of building that just even looks cool, like we should just go walk in there and trespass. We would freaking do it. And, you know, and no gas station was ever unturned by us, you know, and I'm constantly always have to have a beverage in my hand, and I pee a lot, and so I'm a stopper. So my kids have it lucky there because if they're like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom, I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. So basically, what it boils down to is my kids have it pretty freaking awesome in the car, whereas like my dad made me pee on the side of the road. We weren't even really allowed to have food and drinks in the car that I remember. And even if we were, I don't know that it was ever an option. And the closest thing we had to anything to do was the little mechanical football game with the three little lines that you, you know, would kind of go. And I think at one point I had a little Pac-Man machine or something like that. But nothing as, you know, as to what my children have now. But still, it's constantly, and Jack never says, are we there yet? Never. But is constantly going, how many more minutes? And here's the thing, he's five. So even if you tell him how many more minutes, he has no grasp as to what that is, but yet still wants you to do the math. So you're like, we have 2.5 hours. Okay, how many minutes is that? Shit, math. Okay, I don't know. It's over 120. It's between 120 and 180. That's all I know. And is that a long time? Yes, it's a very long time. please put Mary Poppins or Annie back into the headrest DVD and see if you can clear, get three stars on that Angry Birds level. But we had a fabulous trip and went up to and stayed in this 4-bedroom cabin, which is always interesting when you're, I had never really been around one of my brother-in-laws before and another one of my brother-in-laws I only see like on a Sunday afternoon trip to the pool at the in-laws. And so it was cool to hang out with those guys and just drink some beers. My father-in-law is really cool. And so, yeah, we did that. We went and we did some fishing and on some river, and it was cold. And, I did make some observations on this trip. And here's the first observation that I made. Nature in general is freaking hilarious. And here's why. For many, many reasons. First of all, people just will pee anywhere. It's like the back of a bar on the side of a highway. There's just people peeing everywhere, and it's like and I love that people act like they're not, you know, when you walk up to them, and they sort of like turn and sort of act like they're doing something else, and then, you know, that's the first thing. The other thing that I like about nature in general is people feel like they have to have a special outfit on to go into nature. And I'm the same way. Packing for tour for 3 weeks takes me 15 minutes. Packing for a fishing trip for 2 freaking days took me over an hour. And it's like, you know, I have special jeans that I only wear fishing. And I have these boots that I only wear, and there's this jacket that I only wear when I fish. And, you know, it's like, I got my fishing outfit on. And then here we are traipsing through this mountainous sort of rocky area to get to this one place where we're going to catch these fish. And everyone else has these huge walking sticks. I mean, everybody has these huge walking sticks. And I'm laughing because some people are not even really dressed in their nature outfit. And I'm like, you have a walking stick and you're not even dressed up in a nature costume. And, you know, to me, that's hilarity. And so I laugh, you know. And I love, too, that we walked really far to go to this fishing thing. And one of my brother-in-law's biggest concern was how we were going to get the beer there. And he is definitely more redneck than me. And the icing on the cake was, I'm just going to say it. So we did end up catching some fish. And so to keep the fish cool, he just threw them right on top of the beers in the cooler in the truck. And so now there's dead fish juice all over the beers, which I guess is okay. But you just can't wipe that off. I mean, fish smell is like doo-doo and mustard. Like you get that on your finger or under a nail, you're still going to smell that tomorrow, no matter how much Dawn or whatever your choice of soap is, that smell is going to be there tomorrow. So it's like if you ever do the thing where you're like making a sandwich and you get mustard on your finger and then you inadvertently wipe your nose, and that's the worst, you know, that is the worst. By the way, the victim in fishing is the worm, and nobody ever talks about I think people, you know, like most people don't feel sorry for fish for whatever reason. I mean, and I don't, but you know, I mean, it's whatever. And they've got a freaking hook in the side of their mouth. Nah, they don't feel pain there. It's fine. It looks like it hurts a little bit, but still it's like these worms. I find myself being a savage, and like the guys are like cutting these worms up with a knife, and I'm like, I'm from Wichita Falls. I just rip them in half. So I'm ripping these worms in half, and they're shitting on me and they're bleeding on me. And then I'm just taking a hook and ramming it through them and string them up on this hook so that I can throw them out there so that a unsuspecting fish can grab hold of this thing and not swallow it, hopefully, because if they swallow it, well, that's just even worse because we just leave it in there. You know what I mean? So like, anyway, the poor little worms. I saw the thing that reminded me of that is I saw a worm crawling across my driveway on my way in to the house after dropping off the kids at art camp. And yeah, that little guy, he doesn't know how good he's got it, you know, living here in the suburbs. I mean, all he has to worry about is staying in the soil far enough so that some bird doesn't come and get him, or, you know, whatever, a mole. What else eats worms anyway, you know, except for that kid and on how to eat fried worms, you know, that kid, you know, but somebody put him up to it. The funny thing about our worms is they were Canadian, and I guess that's a good thing. We were fishing in Colorado with worms imported from Canada, because I guess the worms that we can get around, you know, the greater Colorado area aren't quite the same. But it was fun. The wife was putting her own worms on the hook, which she's grossed out by everything. So I thought that was really cool. And she caught a couple of fish and I didn't. And I wasn't bitter about it. You know, I wasn't bitter. It's just, you know, it is what it is. Unsuccessful fishing adventure for me, successful for her, success for the family. You know what I mean? I guess I'm more of a gatherer. She's the hunter. So I made a salad for dinner. No, we didn't really eat. That's the thing about my wife is that I go fishing all the time with my father-in-law. And I just give my fish to whomever, even if it's like one of the, and I don't, most of the time I don't just go fishing, like find a hole with some water in it and cast a pole in there. I usually pay a guy to take me to where there's some fish and he'll just go, hey, I'm going to throw this hook in there. And then as soon as there's a fish on there, you just reel it in and then I'll get it. Clean all its guts out and just hand you a brown wrapper with something to eat in it. That is fine with me because I'm really just there to drink beer anyway. Really just there to drink beer anyway. The other thing is about being older and going on a trip like that is I often wonder sort of when that thing shifts in your head and you start noticing things like, you know, that these trees are all different colors and it's fall and this is so beautiful. And oh my gosh, there's a rushing stream there, you know? And it's like, you don't give a shit about that until you're a certain age. And I wonder if it's different for everybody, like, you know, starting to like broccoli, you know, it's like, okay, I like broccoli. Now I notice sunsets, you know, it's gotta be something close in there, right? You know, okay. I need something in my body that's good for my colon. And now I'm going to make out with this chick while the sun goes down. There you go. That's when chicks start digging you, is when you start taking care of your colon. It's just that's when you have to start holding in your farting, because that's when they start smelling really bad. And why does asparagus make your pee stink? That's another deal that is just, you know what else makes your pee stink? Cheerios. Every once in a while I get on a Cheerio kick and it's just the pee thing. Oh, speaking of camping, hold on.
Random shit Jared's thinking about today.
So one of the things that I did discover in camping is, again, going back to the whole peeing thing, is that the button flies are, there's got to be a reason why button flies were invented. And maybe I can't determine if the button fly was invented before the zipper and then we just had this throwback thing and it was cool to have button flies. Or it, because zippers are freaking convenient, and that it, because it, it for many, many reasons, obviously convenience to your penis is a good thing. But, you know, it's like if you're during fishing or sometimes even just during like being dressed up, it's like you got a belt on, you got two shirts tucked in, you just unzip and then out he comes and then he does his thing and you put him back in. But here's the thing about the button fly thing is that you have to touch him. And with the zipper thing, you don't. So, like, if you and when your hands are cold in Colorado, you freaking notice that. So I tell myself this all the time that I just need to buy zippers. And just I know that sometimes I leave it down, and you know, walking into a preschool that can be bad. But you know, that's a chance I'm willing to take. You know, and just I just check it before I go in. That's what I do now. So I went out and bought all new zipper jeans a couple of years ago, but I still sort of go back to these two pairs of button fly ones that I have. And I need to stop doing that. And you know, and the thing about the Dickies zipper is that it's industrial strength and you can zip yourself up in that. And sometimes there's no bouncing back for that from that for a few days. You can, I can really, really smart a little bit, but, On our fishing adventure, as we were getting ready to go into the fishing thing, this car pulls up behind us, and where we were was a state park, but basically you just would park on the streets, and then you could walk into all these different areas of water. There was a huge lake, and there were these just, you know, rivers and stuff that you could go. You just basically find your spot, and one of my brother-in-laws had this spot in mind where we went, but we were there and getting ready to do our thing, and of course drinking beers at 9 o'clock in the morning after drinking until 4 o'clock in the morning. And you know, it's a bad scene. The kids were not with us. They went with my wife's stepmom and sister, and went and, you know, rode a train and some golf carts and stuff. You know, it's like entertainment for the little ones. Evidently they had fun. But anyway, that the as we're sitting there and getting, no, standing there getting ready or whatever, and this car pulls up, and like this, I'm like, holy shit, twin old men. And these two like hillbilly twin old men, like with the exact same haircut, mustache, missing teeth on opposite sides, but dressed exactly the same, both get out, both doing the exact same laugh. Why, well, y'all gonna catch some today? and it was the cutest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. And I looked at Melissa and I said, why am I, what am I looking at right now? Like, the kids wouldn't even have noticed this. And here I am, I'm looking at two old twin hillbilly dudes, and I think it's the greatest thing in the world. Like, I just want to sit there and just aim a camera at them and be like, okay, dance, you know, or say one of you make the other one laugh, or fist fight. I know you have before, do something. Anyway, I know that's awfully random, but twin old men are fucking cute, man. I don't know. Especially when they're all dressed up like little boys. They were like wearing, they were dressed like Jay Leno, actually. They had like the denim jeans on with the denim shirt. And that was pretty darn cute. But it was a successful trip to Broken Bow, Oklahoma, and had a good time. So I was glad I went there. And that counts as our Thanksgiving celebration with that set of parents. So we go to my parents on Thursday, and we're skipping Thanksgiving with Melissa's mom because we're spending Christmas with them doing another activity. A lot of activities going on with me right now, family wise. It's, you know, but I guess that's good. You know, I guess that's good. It's a good thing. I'm having fun, having a good time. But anyway, so this all leads back to the story that of Bowling for Soup. You know, I know that it was Broken Bow, but essentially we played at this place called Hillbilly Junction, and it was, I think it was closer actually to the Arkansas border, because it was much more mountainous than this, but I keep thinking that maybe it's just like on the opposite side of the lake that we were on or something. And again, I'd have to verify it with Chris or Eric, because they would actually know. But, you know, I just started thinking about the similarities of these two trips, like me and my SUV with my wife and two kids and all of their activities, and stopping at Taco Bueno on the way, and, you know, just all of this insanity. And then thinking back to, leaving out, it was one of our very first trips that we had in our first van, El Wapo. It was a 1982 Dodge van, and it was awesome. I mean, we loved it. Our trailer was this little piece of shit fiberglass thing that was actually not even big enough to be a trailer. I've actually seen a lot more of this size trailer in England than I have in the U.S. I mean, it was so small that it's like pulling a jet ski, really, I guess. But a small jet ski, because like you couldn't even back the thing, because it would, no matter which way you turn the wheel, it would just instantly jackknife. So it was very fun to learn to drive on. But we had this manager that we had for about, I guess we had her for about a year. And, you know, one of the things about being in a band, and a young band at that, is you instantly sort of want someone else to come in and tell you what to do. And, you know, this day and age, I think there's a lot more shortcuts for bands, and sometimes I think people know now they can get themselves a lot further. But even still, I hear from bands all the time that are just like, we started this band 6 months ago and we need an agent and a manager and a lawyer. And it's like, you know, you don't really need all that stuff. And most everything like that, we learned the hard way. Pretty much everything in this business, we learned the hard way. And we were our own guinea pig, so to speak. And I think that is part of our longevity, and definitely part of like why I feel like I have sort of an insight into this business that a lot of people don't. Just because we, you know, nothing was ever handed to us. And, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, there were some really rough years for this band financially, but we were always happy, you know. And so, you know, that's a bonus. But anyway, we had this manager, and I won't say her name, but essentially for us, we thought we needed someone to help us along, so to speak. And at that point, you know, this person was our, and she's lovely, by the way. She was our manager and our booking agent and sort of, you know, just sort of had this insight or whatever. And we paid her, you know, we paid her like a retainer and a percentage of whatever we made, which really wasn't much at the time. But she was managing a band at the time called Fugly, and that band had Dave, the singer for Drowning Pool, in it, which is how we got to know him so well. You know, he's then managed a few other bands. Cosmic Dave and Something Earth was like this hippie band, and we were playing a show with him one time, and his amp was so loud, and he was always really, really stoned. And we walked up to him after his set, and we had driven up, and he was playing. I was like, shit, he is so loud. And our original drummer, Lance, walked up to him after a show. He goes, man, dude, your amp is so loud. We heard that in Denton. And the dude just goes, really? Oh, man, that's cool. And he went over and told his brother, they heard my amp in Denton. Just, yeah, that's 30 miles away. We didn't hear that. But so I meet this girl, and she, you know, she invites us to her home to discuss the idea of managing us. And, you know, she lives in this nice neighborhood in North Dallas, and she's got a husband and two kids or whatever. We sit down, we talk about the plan, and everything, of course, sounds way too good to be true. And so I have a bunch of stories about that time. She manages, I guess, 6 or 8 months maybe, but, you know, she smoked a lot, and she had this voice where her voice was actually kind of rough. And when she talked on the phone, she actually sounded like a dude. But over the years, the impression has really become more like this. And so this is the call that I got. All right, here we go. Jared, listen, we've got a big show coming up. We're going to do a show in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, and it's at a resort. And we're going to take the families up there, and we're going to do some fishing, and we're going to do some boating. And you guys are going to play, and they're going to feed you and pay for our rooms and everything. What do you think? And now, a few months later, she would call me and say, Jarrett, I've got a great opportunity for you guys in Tel Aviv. And I'm like, isn't there like a major war going on right now over there? Like, I knew within not to stumble into whatever it was I was happening. But at this point, when I hear, it's going to be a resort, and we're going to do some fishing and some boating, and they're going to pay for our rooms and what? And they're going to feed it. Yeah, we are in, right? We are in. So we're all excited. We throw all of everything into our little trailer, our little mini little trailer guy. We head out, and it's a drive, you know, but for us, we could turn a 4-hour drive into a 9-hour drive easy just by, you know, just deciding that we're going to stop on the side of the road and set a sock on fire and try to drag it behind the van with a fishing line, you know. So we kept ourselves busy, you know, a lot of activity in our van at all times. And so the drive there is interesting and fun or whatever. And so we roll up, and man, we're so stoked. I mean, it really is. It's awesome. It's mountainous area or whatever. And, you know, and we're following a map, by the way. This is pre-internet, pre-GPS or whatever. But we found, you know, we could find our way anywhere back then. And so we pull up, and this is the place that, if you've ever seen this talk about this place, it actually said on one of those little signs with the arrow that's like blinking, it said, come dine and dance to the rock and roll and country sounds of Bowling for Soup. And we're like, okay, well, this is going to be interesting. And this is actually even before the days where we started doing the cover shows. I mean, we knew a few cover songs, but we hadn't really started doing the playing, in different places. Like, you know, if you don't know our history, we would play as Bowling for Soup in sort of like the rock and roll areas, and we would do our originals, but then we would go into other areas. And you guys know how cities are, especially in the States, where like you have your hip clubs that have regular bands, and then over here you have the clubs that have the cover bands. And so we would go over and do the cover shows, and we'd make a little bit of money because we could bring our own PA and all that. And then we could go over here and play the rock and roll shows and not get paid anything, and actually, you know, have to pay for beers and all that. And, you know, it actually worked out, but we hadn't really gotten to that point yet. We're like, you know, maybe a year and a half into the band, maybe. So we didn't really know a lot of covers. So this whole dine and dancing thing was a little bit interesting. But we went in, we loaded our stuff in, and the staff of this place was hilarious. I mean, it was like something out of a biker movie, and but like sort of like way older and more decrepit and less scary, you know. And so we load our stuff in, and we sort of set up, but there's no sound guy there yet, and it's one of those places where they're not even going to mic the amps or the drums. They're just going to put some mics up for the vocals, and it's like, whatever, man, we're hip to this. Just show us to our amazing condominium that you're going to put us in before we do all this fishing and boating and all that. And so I said to the main guy, I said, hey, you know, we'll just go ahead to the hotel and drop our stuff off. So he gives me directions to get to the hotel. And so we drive. And so we're driving down this huge mountain, and of course in this old beat up van, and you know, kind of scared of going off the ledge, but still, you know, everybody's still very excited or whatever. We get to the location of where this hotel is, which is sort of on this overlooking cliff area. And there's like on one side, there's this U-shaped stereotypical roadside hotel that you've seen in every movie in the world. And usually people getting killed there, or, you know, selling drugs out of there or whatever. Either way, you know, it was nice. And next door to a gas station. So I said, everybody wait here, I'll go check us in. And I go to the room that looks like it should be the office. Now, I will say, in hindsight, there was no sign that said office, but it had obviously originally been the office at some point. And I, you know, bravely, you want me to go with you? Somebody said, no, I got this. I'm just going to go in, check it out. I'll get the room keys and I'll just come back. And then that way we don't have to load up and load out and load up. So I open up this door, and I'm not kidding when I say what I'm about to say, because this is both to this day, pushing 40 years old, the creepiest, one of the most scariest, and just the most insane scenes I've ever seen in my life waited behind that door for me. And I will never, ever forget this image in my head. I open up the door, and there's cartoons blasting. And, you know, you can hear, hey, well, I'm going to get a getaway. Hi, hi. And you can hear that in the background. And you could sort of see the light flickering from the TV. And I open the door further. And I'm not kidding. It was a hotel room that was full of beds, set up beds, like, whereas like there was an aisle in between, but there had to have been like 8 double beds in this room, all pushed together with different bedding, but all the bedding was messed up. And on most of these beds and in front of the TV, and some of them crammed together and some of them spread apart, were just children. And these children were in their pajamas with fucked up hair, and all of them eating a bowl of cereal at the same time watching cartoons. There were no adults in the room. Nowhere to be found was any person that would have been in charge. So I'm thinking automatically this is some sort of toddler version of Children of the Corn, and these kids are about to stab me with a spoon. One of the girls jumps up and starts just jumping on the bed and just laughing and is like staring at me, while the other kids never look away from the television. So I am freaking the fuck out, okay? I shut the door, I get back in the van, and everybody's like, what's the deal? And I go, I don't fucking know what the deal is, guys. I don't know. So I pull over to the gas station next door. And I'm still not really saying anything to the guys, you know, and I honestly, because I don't really know whether I think that this situation is funny or whether I'm completely freaked out or whether I think we're going to die or whether I just really want to go home. you know? Like, because, I mean, in my experience, like, I had been a few places, like Six Flags without my parents. But, you know, at this point, it's just like, you know, I'd been through college. So all those things that you do in college, minus going to spring break and humping a bunch of chicks, because I wasn't that cool. Ow. So I pull up to the gas station like I'm going to get gas. And I walk in and I say to the guy, I'm like, hey, do you know where the office is for the hotel? And he goes, hotel? And I go, yeah, there's a hotel right next to you. And I guess I went to the wrong place. I thought I was going to the office or whatever. And we just need to get our hotel rooms. And he goes, rooms? Ain't no rooms. Lesson use the band. And I'm frozen, right? I'm 11 miles away and two mountains over from where we're playing. And this guy says to me, there ain't no rooms. Lesson use with the band. So I fake laugh, as you do in those situations, and go, well, are you talking about the band that's playing Hillbilly Junction? Because that is us. And he's like, yeah. Well, we heard y'all was coming over. I'm like, how did you hear that we were coming over? Oh, the telephone. Got it. All right. So the guy, we make small talk for a minute or whatever. I'm really not listening. And he shoves the keys over to me. And I take the keys quietly and I go back outside. We have two rooms. And we go over and back to the hotel where the Children of the Corn live, the Children of the Corn cereal live. And we each take a key and we divide up and we walk into the rooms. And it is so fucking old school, even for then. I mean, you know, I know this has been 15 years ago, but I mean, places had running water and shit, but not here. You walk in and it's like a bed. And then it had like one of those ceramic like wash basins and a jug of water on the counter. And then there was no actual toilet. There was an outhouse or there was a bucket. And this is the resort that we were staying in. And so about this time, our manager, who has already evidently checked in, who wasn't traveling with us, I guess I should have said that. Her and her husband walk out of their room. And she's like, Jared, isn't this amazing? This is awesome. Are you guys just loving this? This is going to be the best show ever. And we're like, yeah, this is fucking fucked is what this is. Like, we're scared. We're used to, you know, we'll just sleep in the van kind of thing. But no, we make light of it. Everybody gets situated and we head back to the club, where at this point, you know, we get there and the people who work there are starting to show up. They're excited about the night and it's looking good. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's dusting themselves off a little bit and we're just like, hey, let's make light of this. It's going to be fun. We got our gas station shirts on we used to wear. Everybody's happy. And they make us dinner and dude, it's freaking great. I mean, like we all, most of us, I think, had steak and I mean, it was like a real steak. So, I mean, delicious. So, I mean, things are looking up and we're starting to drink a little bit. And this is really sort of, I think back in the day, I really wasn't drinking a lot, but on certain shows or whatever, I would drink a little bit. So this one I drank more than a little bit, but we drank a little bit. And then as we're finishing up our dinner, the one of the old, decrepit, older, less scary biker guys comes up and he's like, so man, you guys ready for some shine? And it's like, some shine? What he meant was moonshine, and he hands us a mason jar. And so that's the first time I ever had moonshine, and one of three times I've ever had moonshine, and one of the three times I probably will ever have moonshine. And so we drank a little bit of that before the show. Needless to say, the show rolls around. We play in front of our manager, her husband, couple of girlfriends, and the staff. That's it, right? We're supposed to play for 3 hours, and it's a nice payday for us. I think we were making, I don't know, $400 or $500 plus all of these expenses that we, you know, the food and the which I mean was a shitload of money. Not even just back then. I mean, just like period, to be a band and be getting paid that much money was insanity, you know? So we play, and we sort of get drunker and drunker, and it's like, man, we've played everything that we know. We've played a couple of things twice, and we got an hour to kill. So Eric took the guitar, and Chris took the bass, and Eric did a 45-minute version of All Along the Watchtower. All of us took bathroom breaks during this rendition and switched instruments while it kept going, including him during Chris's bass solo while I was on drums and Lance was on guitar. And Lance didn't actually really even know how to play the guitar. And we made it work. We did. Triumphant show. No one danced. People did dine. There were no country sounds. So the sign out front did false advertise a smidge. But you know what? We lived. And we drove back to the Children of the Corn Cereal Hotel, and we passed out, and we woke up the next morning, and it was like, okay, now when is all this this boating and this fishing and stuff like that? And evidently, that was never going to happen. So we jumped back in the van, and we drove back to Wichita Falls, Texas, and we have that story to tell for the rest of our lives. Woohoo!
Bowling for Soup News.
What can I say about Bowling for Soup? It's been a crazy, insane year. We've done exactly what we said we were going to do. We've just continued to put out tons and tons of content, and we stayed on the road and all of this, you know, after the whole thing with Jive Records and Sorry for Partying. Obviously not getting the attention that it deserved, but Fishing for Woos came out on our own label last April. It's done great, both in the United States and in the UK and in some other countries as well. But, you know, it came out alongside our greatest hits in Japan. And it's just been a true, true blessing. After that, you know, we did a summer tour. We went over to the UK for Download Festival. And have managed to keep ourselves busy. Tons of new music out there. We released a cover of Stacey's Mom by Fountains of Wayne. And really, and this is serious, because everybody thought we did it anyway. So if we're going to get credit for something, we figure we'll go ahead and take it. Our digital split with the Dolly Rots of us doing their song and them doing our song is out on vinyl. And then the digital version is on its way. It's coming soon, and there's a couple of added bonuses on there, so exciting stuff there. Merry Flippin' Christmas, Volume 1 and Volume 2 are coming out together digitally and on CD in the UK. I'm really confused about, I'm going to be honest, like, I get a lot of questions about this. Here's the thing. Shit gets really fucked up, because now we're not on one label, and even though we were on Jive and one in the US, and then, you know, sometimes we were on Sony here or Music for Nations there, or whatever label we were, now we're on our own label. So in each country, and especially if we go to anything that's not just a digital product, you have to find a different distributor and all that. So that's the reason why shit gets out of whack. Like, something comes out in one country way before it does in another. And, you know, it gets really, really confusing. However, eventually, digitally, you will be able to get Merry Flippin' Christmas Volume 1 and Volume 2. Volume 2 is all originals except for one song, and it's an EP, so it's super cheap. Even if you just do see the combo thing where they're released together, you can just go through and just buy all the individual songs that you want, and it's pretty much the same. And there is going to be a physical CD of that in the UK, but not in the US as of right now, so... man, all that is super confusing. And to be honest, it's confusing to me. So all I can say is it'll all be out there eventually. And I really, really appreciate the support on it. And I'm super, 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 super proud of Merry Flippin' Christmas Volume 2, because I wrote it in a hurry. We recorded it in a hurry, and I just couldn't be happier with the way the songs came out. We also re-released our first three, actually albums 1, 2, and 4. The self-titled Cellmates, the split with a punk rock band from Denton called The Vims, and our Tell Me When to Woe EP, which never came out really nationally because it's what the Bitch song and the song You and Me and a few songs that were pretty much the reason why Jive started to pay attention to us in the first place. So tons of music out there. I mean, obviously, you have to take those first few records as what they are. The self-titled, we recorded a month after we became a band and released it 3 months after we became a band. We had no direction, and both all of us coming from different worlds and still trying to figure out what we were going to sound like, you know, the first three or four albums. So that one, you know, is a little bit all over the place. The vocals are really out of tune and stuff. But it's, I think for me, for a Bowling for Soup fan, it's probably about the same for me as being, you know, a Super Drag fan, whereas like I like the fact that they released all their early demos and stuff. So you can just hear where their sound has gotten and sort of where it came from and what the song sounded like before and all of that. So, you know, it's a good thing. It's a nice little addition to the collection and all of that. Bowling for Soup is done touring for a bit, which it does free us up to do other things right now. We will start getting busy again in late February and into March and April. Tons of plans for us. A lot of it I can't really discuss now because we're finalizing some stuff, but some good surprises and hopefully lots of shows for you guys and more music to come.
People on Vacation News.
So I got to say, you know, if I get a little bit excited here, you got to bear with me a little bit. I could not be more excited about People on Vacation. And I do want to take this opportunity, as I do all the time, to say that though I'm focusing a lot on People on Vacation right now, Bowling for Soup is obviously still my main focus. You know, it's the reason why I'm even in this business and I'm in that band with my best friends. And Ryan feels the same way about Smile Smile. Definitely, you know, they have a brand new album coming out and lots of stuff going on in their world too. But man, you know, People on Vacation is something that, if you don't know the backstory, I'll just tell it quickly. I think we told it in a previous podcast, but hopefully we've got some new listeners out there. Ryan and I, you know, I fell in love with his band. I asked him to tour with Bowling for Soup. You know, they were a little bit scared to do so, and I'm glad they did. We got to be fast friends, and, you know, it's his idea for us to get together and write some songs. I think now, looking back, I think more out of boredom, because he's got a lot of time on his hands, which is why he's on Facebook a lot and why he's constantly putting shit on the internet and stuff, which I think is awesome. I'm not like, but I think he really just needed a friend. And that's why we're here to this day. But in all seriousness, we got together. We no intentions of starting a band. We wrote a couple of songs. We actually wrote the song Rainy Day, and then wrote a couple of more. And then at that point started saying, you know, maybe, and I guess it was, you know, a few months later, but maybe we want to make a go of this. I mean, the intention originally was just to write some songs for film and TV, maybe write some stuff for other bands, which is, you know, all business for songwriters who have time to write shit for other things besides their own band, you know, and which we did. And but you know, the our voices together started to sound like something that we really liked, and the feedback that we got from Linus and from, you know, other friends was good. And and so we decided to make a go of this thing as a band. And, you know, it's been now about a year and a half, I guess, going on 2 years, I guess, since we started this whole mess. And, you know, we really wanted to get a product out there and something out there for people to hear, something for people to start sort of putting some sort of identity on what it is that we're doing. And so, you know, in trying to decide how we were going to do that, it became, the plan really just was like, hey, let's just take the first six songs we wrote. They were originally going to be our EP anyway, and then we just kept writing. Let's just put that out as an EP. So that's coming out in a couple of days. You can still pre-order it now, but, you know, basically after Thanksgiving, it'll just be for sale online, and then you'll be able to buy physical copies through the People on Vacation stores, both in the U.S. and the U.K. Visit wearepeopleonvacation.com. But right now, you can pre-order it, and there's a bunch of really cool pre-order packages out there and some really cool, one of which you actually get to be a guest on this podcast. So hopefully that one is one that intrigues you a little bit. I think we could have some fun having you on here. POV's playing shows mostly in Texas, talking about a return to the UK, and then some, maybe a trip to Chicago, New York, maybe LA, just kind of starting small. I mean, we're not in any situation where we can get in the van and go around and play for the for, you know, 20 people. Both of us have tons of other shit going on, and it just doesn't make sense. So, that being said, we are doing these Stage It shows. And if you've seen us talking about the Stage It shows, but you haven't seen one yet, please find a friend who has seen one, or just, you know, ask for some feedback on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, because they will tell you it's almost like having us play for you in your living room. It sounds good. It's very interactive. We keep the shows really small crowd wise, 50 to 100 people max, mostly on the 50 side. The next one coming up actually for Stage It is a sort of Christmassy type family show. Not necessarily that we're going to play Christmas songs, but that we're just going to play more family oriented songs. We realize that some of the stuff that we play isn't really that great for kids. So we'll play some of our originals. We may change a few of the lyrics around, but we'll also play some stuff that you probably haven't heard us play yet. So, that one's coming up December the 13th. In the meantime, our CD release party is this Saturday at the Kessler. That's September the 26th, I think. And then we're also playing December 2nd at the Aardvark with the O's. And then don't forget, two shows, December 13th on Stage It. You can go to wearepeopleonvacation.com or check out our Facebook for tickets to that. And it's pay what you can. There's two shows, one at 2 Central, which is 8 o'clock p.m. In the U.K., and then one at 8 o'clock Central, so that we can, some of our West Coast peeps can check that one out. So whichever one's more convenient, again, you pay what you can. We just ask for a donation of $3 to $5, but, you know, if you can pay more, pay more. If you can pay less, and then you can always give us a little tippy tip. All of that money that we collect from those shows does go to paying off Ryan's student loans, which, you know, he's a 30-year-old man now. Let's try to get that taken care of, right? You know? We are making plans for tons of other things. More music. And we do have a Christmas song called Cheer Up, It's Christmas that we are putting out with the EP online. You can buy it individually as well. And we have another Christmas song that we just ended up doing for the Kirtland Records compilation, called It Must Be Christmas. And it is a really, really good one too. So we'll be sending all that stuff out. If you don't follow us on Twitter, it's People on Vacay. Check us out on Facebook. And we are peopleonvacation.com. Please, please, please go check that out.
Gerinus News.
I know Gerinus has been a little bit quiet, both, you know, obviously as Linus and I get super busy, but... you know, we are still very much in the planning stages of our Kickstarter campaign that will come out very soon. We're actually going to release a song on our website in the next few weeks to just tide everybody over. But the Gerinus album, consisting of myself and Linus of Hollywood, will be coming out soon. And we're writing a ton for other bands right now, and just lots going on. Really no real news to report other than I promise you, promise, there is stuff coming very soon. Music and an album. In the meantime, please check out Gerinus on Twitter, Jarinus, and on Facebook.
Built by Ninjas News.
First of all, I don't think that I have had the chance to say thank you to everybody who supported and promoted the Turbulence video, the Built by Ninjas. If those of you who do not know what Built by Ninjas is, it's my own company with my friend Heath, who lives up in Wichita, Kansas, and sort of just another outlet to be creative. I think I was just on one side of the camera so much in the whole video thing. I'm sure this happens to everybody. But it's like, you know, you almost just want to help other people make something awesome visually and creatively and blah, blah, blah. God, this is boring, Jared. Get to the point. Okay. But my friend Heath works in video up in Wichita, Kansas, and just reached out to me about doing some music videos together. And we started with an MC Lars video for the song 23. We did a couple of Palmdale videos. Check them out online. And that's Linus of Hollywood and Kay Hanley. And, we did a video for the song Turbulence for Bowling for Soup, and that's us directing it. And, just a great success for us as a band and for Built by Ninjas. So, I want to say thank you to everybody who helped us along the way with that one. recently just finished up a video for the song Douchebag by the band Patent Pending. And we're super stoked about this one. It's different from any of the videos that we've made so far. It's very narrative and really funny. Those guys are amazingly talented, both musically and just, you know, in everything they do. So look for that one soon. Built by Ninjas obviously is also on Facebook and Twitter. So check that out. I think that's pretty much it for me today. I want to thank you all for subscribing to my podcast, whether it's on iTunes or on Podbean. I hope you've enjoyed this one. Obviously, it's just me talking shit, but stay tuned. I still want to make this an outlet for you to come and find out not only about what I'm doing, but about what my friends are doing and about, you know, new music that I'm listening to and old music that I was a part of and just everything, you know. I've been kind of going back and forth of whether to ever get really serious on these things. And I don't mean like, you know, anything crazy, but I mean, you know, there are things that happen in my day or in the world where I have an opinion or just an outlook. And I don't, and again, I'm not even talking political. I just, you know, it's usually small shit that I build up in my head, but I kind of go back and forth of whether you're really interested in that or not. And I'm certain that the answer is no. And you just want me to keep doing fart jokes. So that's likely where this is headed. But again, I do hope to do a few more episodes in December. And I very much thank you for supporting me. A couple of shout outs. I want to give a shout out to our friend Heather in the UK, who keeps us abreast of all things internet. And I definitely want to give a shout out to the BFS Army, who not only helps with Bowling Pursuit, but with Eric Chandler stuff, with Jarinus, with People on Vacation, with Built by Ninjas, with Crappy Records, all that shit. So thank you so much to the BFS Army and all you guys do. And, you know, couldn't do this without you. I hope that everyone has enjoyed this one, and I will see you down the flippin' Rizzo'd.
Hey, everybody, this is my podcast. This is my podcast. This is my podcast. Hey,